2013 was a whirlwind year for labor, both as a nation and here in Washington State. Boeing and its machinists continue an emotional contract negotiation, voting scheduled for Friday. Seattle teachers started out the school year protesting standardized tests, and around the nation, low-wage workers went on strike to demand higher pay. John Nichols covers labor for The Nation magazine. He says Seattle's at the epicenter of a renewed labor movement. He told me the top labor story of the year is the change in how unions are talking to people.
Now, after many, many years of being battered, unions, I think, have increasingly recognized that they have to again be movements, that they have to reach beyond themselves and talk to the broader community. And you've seen this in a number of areas. One area is in the area is in education, where unions like the AFT and the NEA, teachers unions, have begun to really talk about issues such as over-testing, standardized testing, and its use and abuse. And that issue really talks to parents. And much of that fight, interestingly enough, is rooted in Seattle. The teachers at Garfield High School in Seattle started the year by saying that they were not going to administer some standardized tests. They were backed up by their union, and over time, they negotiated and got to a point where Seattle has really stood down on a lot of this standardized testing. That message, although undercovered in the media, has rippled across the country.
I'm talking with John Nichols, political reporter for The Nation. And John, you mentioned the standardized testing and the teachers. And we, I suppose, as we speak in December of 2013, are pretty mired in machinist politics with Boeing. We're not thinking so much about teachers. How does Boeing fit into this whole labor picture nationwide?
Well, Boeing fits in a big way. Now, it's important to understand that not every city has a Boeing, a huge manufacturer that employs a lot of people at very good wages, or historically quite good wages. The fight that Boeing is in is a unique one to Seattle, but it parallels fights that we've seen in the auto industry, in the steel industry, in so many other areas. And it goes to two issues that are very, very big in the United States at this point. And that is that our free trade policies actually give an awfully lot of encouragement to companies to relocate overseas. Additionally, internally within the U.S., we have very lax industrial policies. We actually have a lot of encouragement for companies to jump from region to region, from state to state. That's what you're seeing with Boeing, not a proposal to go overseas, but a proposal to go down to the South, where there's less unionization and weaker rules and regulations as regards labor. And the Boeing fight will be a nationally watched fight because it is something that people across the country relate to, not because they have a Boeing, but because they've been through an auto plant closing, they've been through a steel plant closing, they may be threatened with another one. And how this sorts out, how the state of Washington deals with it, how federal officials deal with it, is a very, very big deal for labor.
How does the demand for, well, the SeaTac's successful campaign to increase the minimum wage fit into all of this?
Huge part of it. This is something where unions don't traditionally represent a lot of low-wage workers. But historically, unions have built themselves by reaching out to and making low-wage workers into middle-class workers, helping them up the ladder of economic success. And it's fascinating what has happened. The year 2013 started with President Obama boldly proposing a $9 minimum wage. And you heard all sorts of pushback, people saying, that's ridiculously high, it's way too much. And then, interestingly enough, a couple of members of Congress said, no, it's not too high. It actually should be 10-10. Again, they were huge pushback in Congress. Everybody said, you could never get buy-in for that. And yet, suddenly, out of Seattle, which I think has become an epicenter on these issues, we see SeaTac vote for a $15 minimum wage. We see city officials in Seattle now seriously talking about doing it in a major American city. And with the fast food and Walmart protests across the country, you have seen this $15 minimum wage suddenly become a genuine subject of discussion. Imagine that. In a one-year period, we went from people saying, oh, $9 is radical, to a point where now we're talking $15, And we're suddenly saying something that's very important here, that the minimum wage in the United States might actually assure that people who work a 40-hour week don't have to live in poverty. That's a big message.
What does that portend for 2014, then, when we talk about labor?
No, I think that labor is in a revitalizing moment after really taking hard hits. And you saw the great struggles of 2011 with many of the states attacking public employees. You've seen the advance of right-to-work laws, which are actually laws that make it harder to organize a union. Those things, I think, shocked a lot of the labor movement into recognizing that it had to become far more activist, had to think beyond itself to the whole community, to the whole state, to the whole nation. This is a very big deal because it's a repositioning of labor, and it will not come easily. 2014 is not going to be some sort of soft, easy year where labor marches toward big successes. There will be fight after fight after fight. But instead of being in a defensive position, we see after the year 2013 that in a lot of places around the country, and I think Seattle's a very good example of this, a lot of the labor movement is now in an offensive position, moving forward, trying to advance ideas and proposals. That's a big, big change. It is very interesting that we close off 2013 with national stories about how efforts to increase the minimum wage suddenly are being embraced at the state level all over the country. That's a very different... I don't remember. I've covered labor for a long time. I don't remember a circumstance where at the end of a year, a labor wage story was the lead story in the New York Times.
John Nichols reports for The Nation. The KUOW web staff has compiled a roundup of the year in labor protests here in the Seattle area. You can find that story on the homepage of our website, KUOW.org. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.